Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'll give Jim Crane credit, man. He is out there answering all the questions. Did a press conference last week, obviously, where he announced the firings of A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, and then sat there and took 20 minutes worth of questions from the media. He's at the Astros gala on Friday, and he's got a media horde around him, and he's answering all the questions. So Jim Crane is out there. He is leading this franchise right now. He's leading a search for a new manager and general manager. It looks like the manager one appears to be top of mind, largely because pitchers and catchers are in like 3 weeks. But Dusty Baker arrived at the airport last night, and Mark Berman was there waiting for him. The Houston welcome wagon of Mark Berman was there waiting for Dusty Baker at the airport.
Dusty Baker held forth for a while, gave a bunch of answers.
He did.
And he's like, Dusty Baker's a guy you could say, oh, hey, he's almost, you bring him in and it feels like the patriarch of the family that's going to make everything all right after a divorce or something.
That's how
let's get everybody together and let's talk this thing out.
That's
here
how he
go.
Came across. Yeah, you're right. I don't like that he wears sweatbands on his wrists and he's not a player. Like he wears sweatbands.
I've always kind of liked that.
You do?
Yeah.
You're someone who sweats.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
I could see where you would like him so you could mop your forehead
Well, that
off.
And if you're, you know, you got to keep your hands dry if you're messing with your lineup card and whatnot.
All right, maybe I'm being mean.
Except the instructions from whatever the hell this looks like. We don't know who the GM is at this point.
No.
That guy that looks like me might end up being the guy.
We've been overrun by flat organizational structures.
The guy that looks like a cross between me and Beto O'Rourke. Which I don't know.
Oh, the Petula fella?
Yeah, that might hurt him in the polls. But every time I see him, I'm like, oh, that's either me or Beto. I'm not sure.
You two get like, mixed up all the time.
Yeah. What if I could... I should just show up as Beto. Next time there's a Trump rally or something, I'll walk in and like, I'm...
What the hell happened?
I'm roided up Beto O'Rourke. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do?
I checked. I'm the Petulia is 30 years old.
Yeah,
I'm
not,
I couldn't be his father. I didn't get started that early.
You biologically, you could have been his father, but yeah, you weren't.
He's from only a stone's. My dad could be his father. My dad got around.
Is he from that part of the country?
He's from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so he could
compared to Texas, that's New York.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything about his mom or anything, but if the whatever, my dad got around. He was my dad was a busy fella. So
you never know.
Yeah, we could be half brothers. What if I could get a job? Let's open up the new regime with a whole bunch of nepotism. We've announced Seth Payne, former NFL player and talk show host, as our new contract negotiator for Astros.
I would subscribe in a heartbeat to a webcam that followed Seth Payne around as part of the Astros analytics team.
Hey, Altuve, you looked like a... You looked like a punk last night.
That's right.
Quit being such a P word. Yeah.
It's good. So Jim Crane met with the media and was asked, hey, how do you guys move forward from this?
You know, we went through it Monday. You know, we made some mistakes. You know, we made a decision to let that get behind us. You know, we think the future's bright. We'll make the adjustments. You know, you've got a lot of really smart people here in the baseball ops and very deep. And, you know, people think we're in crisis. I certainly don't believe that. We'll be fine. We'll get this behind us. We'll get going, and we'll start playing baseball in the spring.
Seth, this is where it hit me. I had been kind of on eggshells all week just because this, you know, this was a haymaker to the Astros franchise. Still a really good team in 2020, but, boy, what does the future hold, especially a general manager? I'm more concerned about hiring a general manager than I am the manager. It hit me. It was Saturday. I was driving home. I was going to get coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and get kolaches and bring them home and so that Amy and I could eat breakfast. And it hit me as I was on 288 driving home. And I don't know what hit me, but it's just maybe the hand of God of baseball reaching down. And at that very moment, I said, you know what? I am as excited for the 2020 baseball season as I've been for any season since I moved back to Houston.
Oh, that's great. That's
good. It hit me like a bolt of lightning. I just said, you know what? I am excited to tell the rest of baseball to just to shove it. You know,
right.
Where the
gonna,
sun don't you're shine.
You're
going
to have plenty of opportunities because they're going to hear about it every single time they're away. And they're going to hear about it at home when the, well, I was about to say when the Yankees or Red Sox come to town. Those two, mercifully, I think the two fan bases that travel the best to Minute Maid might actually be kind of mum about it too, since their own fan base.
Mm.
The Yankees seem to be in denial about it. Red Sox fans have understood and accepted it, at least. And they're kind of going through the six stages of grief like the Astros fans had to for a while. Yankees fans are adamantly denying any evidence at all that they also cheated extensively.
It's funny you bring up the stages of grief because I was thinking about it. And I'm going, this is the last stage is acceptance. I'm like, this is beyond acceptance.
Yeah.
This is acceptance with anger is what I am right now because I am excited for 2020. I'm rooting harder for the Astros in 2020 than I think I was when they were going after it in 2017 because I want them to prove to baseball that they didn't need all this garbage that they were doing in order to win a World
right.
Series.
And also, I mean, the buzzer stuff is the most annoying stuff to me now because there's not it's completely baseless and it's based on rumors that have been circulating for months, but because a fake Twitter account comes out and a few news outlets are too stupid to realize it, all of a sudden the buzzer talk became huge again, where that's something that affected 2019. I want to see them go back and just, yeah, keep doing what they've been doing. The core of the team is still there. We can worry about the pipeline, and we have to worry about how you're going to replenish that pipeline and how you're going to make in-season moves and whatnot, and hopefully sign Springer to an extension. But for the most part, this season, for the most part, the hay is in the barn.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's tweaking that needs to be done, but the key players are already here.
I want their new tradition to be after each playoff series when they win to just rip all their shirts off. I want them to be dancing. You know that stupid baseball team hop that they always. I hate the celebrations in baseball. 25 guys all jumping up and down. It looks ridiculous, but that's what they do. I want it to be 25 shirtless men jumping up and down so we can all see that they don't have a wire on.
You know what we should do is we should hire a few TSA agents to stand at the dugout
steps
and give the full pat down. By the way, I consented to a full pat down without understanding exactly what it was.
I thought you were on the clear
the other day. No, but I went through a random check and there was something with my suitcase or no, it was just a random one. So not the clear, not the steroid clear.
No.
The clear program, which is like TSA Plus.
No, I know you take the injectables and the steroids.
The TSA Plus, where you just put your fingerprints on and you go through. You don't even have to show your license or anything. But I got the full pat-down where they actually, like, I had my genitals cupped by a man in front of a lot of people.
How was it?
Yeah. It was oddly kind of liberating.
Was he gentle?
I was kind of like, I'm here. This is me. Have at it. Just right here in front of the world. I want you and I want the world to know about our special
people.
Relationship. Yeah. So yeah, do the
do
full,
I not bleed
the full pat down in front of everybody.
Did they find anything?
No, they found nothing.
Okay, good.
As far as the clear goes, by the way, another quick aside. So you can pay for the TSA pre-screen, which is awesome. But then there's an extra special step where you go this clear program where you don't have to show your ID or anything, and they scoot you, they escort you up in front of the TSA pre-check people, some of whom get pretty indignant because they thought they had paid for the highest level. I'm in the clear, baby. It's also ironic because Scientology, when you pass on to the next level, you do these little things where they test you and like find out what your emotional response is to certain things in your life. And I think what happens is you want to keep going until you're in the clear. Like, you clear that part of the program. And also, and then in Scientology, you pay a bunch of money to go to a seminar.
So do you think that this clear thing is really just a front to try to get you to be a Scientologist?
I feel like at some point, I paid for the TSA, then I paid for the clear. I feel like the next step is, like, accepting John Travolta as my personal savior or something.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
What does the clear cost, by the way?
I don't know. Is that $80 a year or something?
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like, if you travel a lot, that sounds totally
Sean,
worth
there's
it.
There's one precious commodity in my life that I care about and that everything else comes from. My time. Yeah. My time is my most precious commodity.
Yes.
And everything else, I divvy up my time amongst others. So I pay a good amount of money. That's a very, very cheap price for me to get that time back in my life.
To make sure that you are conserving time. I get it. There's certain things in life that you pay for. A lot of things we overpay for. there are certain things that I pay for, and I'm like, I can't believe this only costs that much.
Yeah.
And I don't have the clear like you do, but I do have TSA pre.
Yeah.
I do travel enough to where $85 over 5 years is enough for me to go, yeah, I'd like to keep my shoes on and my laptop in my bag and go past all those schmucks that are standing in the line. I would pay probably triple that, at
frankly,
least.
Sometimes as a taxpayer, I worry that it's too cheap. I'm like, wait a second. Are we actually like dipping into the fund? Like, this should be self-funding. I don't trust. I feel like it's too good a bargain. I'd rather pay more for it out of my pocket.
I would too. Yeah. Like, I'm like this. When I first found out, I think it was Meltzer that actually told me about it. He's like, it's only $85 for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I need to go do this. Yeah. I need to go do this right now. And I did.
Plus, it's good to know, like, you go through the security background just to be sure there's no outstanding warrants on me anywhere, like
right.
in Rhode Island or anything.
It is good.
That I need to know about.
Yeah. You're right. It's kind of like a checkup.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah.
going to the doctor, making sure, you know, you
like, I
don't have polyps or anything like that.
Or just
you know?
Find out there's some terrorist that has the same name as you or
right.
something, like,
right.
so that I'm not going to get red flagged.
So
all
you
of
realize
a
you've maxed out several credit cards in the Philippines.
It's like if I decide to take a trip to Abu Dhabi, it's not going to get real complicated real quick or
real
something.
Complicated. All right, more Jim Crane. Here is Jim Crane on the status of the Astros managerial search.
We still have a pretty extensive list. You know, every time you interview somebody, you learn something else. So, you know, I think it's also a learning experience for our team to get to talk to a lot of different people, and you learn a lot. So, you know, we're doing it, you know, for that reason too. And then trying to narrow down our decision. We'll narrow down our decision, you know, towards the end of next week.
Are there any of these candidates, Seth, that you've done any sort of background on that's jumped out at you that you like?
Well, okay. The only two that I didn't know much about is Will Venable, the third base coach for Chicago up there. And apparently they love him up there. His father was – this is what's interesting to me about Venable is he's a Princeton guy, and his father was a 12-year Major League Baseball veteran. So I feel like he must have all the old school unwritten rules down by heart.
Mm.
He's got the bookish side to him. He's a Princeton guy, so he'll have the nerdy side that maybe Jim Crane is looking forward to replace Jeff Luhnow. You want a nerd in there. But also, you got the old baseball school side to him. Well, not to replace Jeff Luhnow, to replace A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch's nerdy side was Stanford.
Yeah.
So you've got a Princeton nerd, but who also understands old school baseball, and maybe that'll appeal to him.
It was funny. I saw an article about him. He's a third base coach for the Cubs right now. The Cubs had their fan fest over the weekend. Their new manager is David Ross, who was the catcher on the World Series team a few years ago. He spent a couple years on TV, and now that's obviously the path to become the Cubs manager, is to go on TV. Venable, they had their fan fest.
Yeah.
And Venable was up there next to Ross at like one of these panels where they handed the mic around to fans and they could ask questions. And they asked him if he was leaving because they saw that he was interviewing. And he said no, and he assured everybody he would be focused on the upcoming season. And I'm thinking, dude, you're the third base coach. As long as you're focused the only time you need to be focused is when dudes are rounding third. That's it. Like, let's not act like you're putting massive game plans together like a defensive coordinator in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you just be focused those four seconds where the dude's rounding third.
No, you might be underestimating how focused you have to be, because generally with the Astros, if your third base coach is just winding your arm and saying, yeah, go. Yeah, just go. You got it. Versus maybe they're a little bit more choosy up there.
Yeah.
The other guy, too, is John Gibbons, who is twice the manager for Toronto. I talked to a friend of mine who's Canadian.
Mm.
He's a Torontan. So I basically, anything he says to me about Canada at all, I take it as like, okay, people 100% unanimously
he's the
agree
gospel
on all
for
this.
You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got you.
So I said, so how do Canadians feel about John Gibbons? And he said, we like him. He came back and managed a second time. He said that it was... He said that he felt that players – he said that Gibbons is actually like a very strict by the rules guy, and some players like it and some players don't. So that's based on my buddy layperson's synopsis of John Gibbons. But maybe if that is true, that side of it appeals to Jim Crane.
I think personality-wise, they need to find someone who mirrors A.J. Hinch as best possible. A.J. Hinch is not – ousted as the Astros manager because he couldn't get along with players or he was unsuccessful as the manager. He was incredibly successful as a manager. He had a great clubhouse. He had tremendous chemistry on that team. The players really liked him. He got swept up in the rules. He made a mistake. He should have stopped the sign stealing thing or else he would still be employed. The last thing this team needs is a manager to drop in there and where there's the potential for personality conflict.
Well,
unnecessarily.
The big question is just the interplay between the general manager and the coach. And how much of, you know, Luno's claiming he knew nothing of all of this. And Hinch knew of it, obviously, and he was forthright with investigators about it. He never explicitly said to do any to stop doing it, but you wonder, okay, but what were his instructions from Luno at that point? Because Luno can claim that he didn't know anything about all he wants. We know a couple things. We know that at one point, Astros front office, Astros management sent all their scouts a letter saying, hey, we also, while you're out scouting, want you to film the dugout for signs of the opponent and try to figure, which would have been legal, but scouts looked at that as like, whoa, bro, like I'm there with all my scouting peers from other teams and you want me to stand there with a camera and film. And scouts did not like that at all. Yeah. So it, like that's, we've already got that. And then we have the various incidents of, remember the Red Sox where you had the, you had the front office employee with the camera. Like we've had all these little moments where Luno was familiar with technology and how it can be used.
Right.
I don't know how much of Hinch's easygoing personality was a hindrance to him stopping it, or was it that Jeff Luno was interceding? I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Mike, because when you say, hey, we need a personality like AJ Hinch, the first thing I think is, well, AJ Hinch's easygoing personality was also the one that didn't put the kibosh after the commissioner sent his letter.
No, I get what you're saying. I think there's going to be plenty of checks and balances in there, both from the Astros and Major League Baseball, to where the new manager's not going to be put in a position like that. The new manager will have seen what happened to AJ Hinch and will probably be more vigilant about it. I'm more concerned about clubhouse chemistry, about player-manager relationship, that kind of thing.
So for GM, it seems like Petulis has a whole lot of buzz about him. Like people look at him as a really bright guy, and they wonder if he has enough experience.
He's 30?
He's 30, yeah. But he's been in the organization for 7 years,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knows he was the video room monitor up until, or like the video room person in charge of the video room up until 2016, I think.
Mm.
2015
back
or
when
16.
It was a clean operation.
So he actually, hey, you could say, look, hey, when he was in charge, nothing happened
at all.
That's
right, that's right.
Would he have told Carlos Beltran, get out of here, you scoundrel. Out of my video room.
I like to think that at the age he was at, he'd been like, you get out of here.
Listen, well, buddy.
Listen, Mr. Beltran. You better get out of here with that bat in that garbage can right now.
I don't think in baseball does the age scare anybody anymore.
No.
We've had a lot of success in baseball.
It goes
with
back
these,
to Theo Epstein.
Right, these super bright young dudes. I kind of like the fact that he's only 30. I also would rather hire a general manager based on how many people think that there's something special about him more so than, whoa, okay, now he's got the resume.
He's a lifer.
You know what? I'll go over to football. Look at John Lynch. John Lynch didn't check off any of the resume building boxes,
right.
And he's done a pretty good job.
Just super smart.
If you think somebody's super smart and has an aptitude for it that others simply don't, then screw the resume.
Yeah, that's a good take. All right, last one from Jim Crane here. Brandy, if you're listening. Here's Jim Crane on a George Springer extension.
We've made that clear to George and his agent, and so you know it's on their timetable now. We cleared up the arbitration and make things a little more comfortable for George. We love George. He's one of our core guys, and we hope we can get that done and see if that works.
Seth, I'm not going to lie. I'm getting nervous about George Springer's long-term future with the Astros.
I don't think you should, just because right now, I mean, what do you expect? Every damn organizational chart in Houston is flat as could be right now.
Yeah.
So what's a flat organizational chart without a general manager or a manager or anything else at this point with the Astros going to do in terms of... I'd almost be more nervous if they signed a long-term extension with George right now, because I'd want to know, well, all right, who negotiated it and are we sure that this is in lockstep with the vision of who the next GM is going to be.
But I think even if there were a GM, I think that would be an extension, the magnitude and the size of which Jim Crane would be involved with anyways.
Right,
you know,
but
I
it's
mean?
Always like, him. With him, it's a more in a supervisory role or like with veto power.
I guess. I mean, I think it's just numbers. I think like contracts get to a certain point, and my guess, I don't know this to be the case, my hunch is, just having read the articles about Jim Crane's involvement in other big deals with this team, is that if there's a five-year, $130 million deal with George Springer, let me put it this way. If Jeff Luno were still there, they go sign a middle reliever to a two-year, $15 million deal. Jim Crane probably, he may find out about that on Twitter.
Yeah.
If Jeff Luno or whoever the GM is offering George Springer a five-year, $130 million deal, Jim Crane is on the conference call while they're thinking what the offer should be.
Right, but
he's
that's
involved
also,
every step of the
way.
But
that's different than him actually negotiating the deal. Like, because the whole thing with the Texans with losing Chris Olsen as their negotiator It's all the intricacies of the deal. In baseball, it's kind of a little bit more straightforward because the money is the money and you're going to pay it. It's all guaranteed.
Right.
But right now what the Astros are, they're in a position where they're up against a luxury tax. So they have to move a lot more deftly and carefully than they've had to really since 2000, whenever Jim Crane bought it and cleared the deck. So I don't think Jim Crane trusts himself to say, yeah, me and a couple of interns will get this deal done.
No, I know, but that cut makes it sound like he's sent an offer to Springer's people and it's on them now. Like they're waiting on George, you know, like we've told George we want to keep him.
Oh, is that what it?
Yeah. Do you want to play it?
Yeah, I didn't read that from it.
I mean, maybe I'm reading into it, but it sounded to me like he was saying the ball is in Springer's court.
We've made that clear to George and his agent, and so you know it's on their timetable now. We cleared up the arbitration and make things a little more comfortable for George. We love George. He's one of our core guys, and we hope we can get that done and see if that works.
That's true. If it's in their court, then that would imply that
I'm just a little nervous. That's all.
Yeah, that there is an offer out there on the table.
Yeah.
But we also look, the last time Jim Crane was fiscally careful, it was before these last couple years, remember, when they didn't want to spend a whole lot of money because it would have been dumb to spend a lot of money on a team that wasn't going to compete anyway. The Astros had a history of making offers that weren't really offers to free agents. Like, hey, we tried for Tanaka, and it was like, oh yeah, the deal was like $20 million less per year than everybody else.
True.
So I don't know if maybe the offer that was made was just kind of a perfunctory, hey, we love you, here you go, but it's not realistic.
Could be.
A deal.
Could be. It's not stopping me from being nervous, though, still. I'm still nervous. All right, so that's Jim Crane. Jim Crane kind of has everything out there for everybody. That's from the gala. The audio is from the Astros gala on Friday, which raised more money than it's ever raised. Houston is galvanized. The cheating scandal is raising money for charity. That's the way
it's
I choose
like,
to look
it's
at
like
it.
What happens in politics now when somebody thinks, oh, this is going to be a scandal for this, bro, and then all of a sudden he gets more campaign
That's
donations
it.
Than ever. That's what it's going to be
it's
like.
The with, same exact yeah. thing. Yeah, the benefit, the beneficiaries, Astros charities. Scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about this Super Bowl matchup? Chiefs.
That's
Niners.
Interesting because it's like it's more of an academic interest. I'm excited about. Oh wow, these actually look like two. These look like the two teams that absolutely 100% should be there. But
Doesn't
emotionally,
the
I'm still suffering. So I would say I'm at a 7.
A 7.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch those games yesterday without, especially the AFC game, without getting angry. That game was kicking off, and I was seething a little bit.
I felt better as the game went along because, as you know, I was very conflicted in that I wanted to cheer for the Titans, who I despise, especially like many specific players on the Titans I despise. So I was very conflicted at the beginning. By the end, it helped me close the book on the Texans season because I saw, okay, even though the Texans beat the Titans, ultimately the Titans weren't actually that good a team. And they kind of turned into a pumpkin by the end. Derrick Henry couldn't continue to get 40 carries per game for the rest of eternity. At some point, it was going to come back. It was going to come crushing down on him, and it did. Ryan Tannehill, a lot of the incredible throws that he'd been making over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks kind of went the other way, and they weren't quite as incredible, and maybe the cold affected him. He was trying to swipe his tablet with his nose. I feel like that was the point at which...
Did he really? I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see that?
No, I didn't see that.
So because it was cold and he was wearing his gloves, it looked like a caveman who had discovered pornography for the first time because he's like trying to dive into the... It looked like he was trying to dive into the action. He didn't understand that it wasn't real.
That looked good.
What he was doing...
woman!
What he was doing was swiping through the images with his nose.
His
put his face down on it and swiped from right to left or left to right.
That's
and
beautiful.
It was weird.
That's
and that was like as they were already getting killed, and he was just having a good old time laughing about it. Every time they spun to Tannehill, he looked like he was having the time of his life.
He does look like he's kind of happy out there. That's what made me mad, though, was like he had a 24-0 lead last week. Man, if you're the Texans, you are never going to get a better look at getting to a Super Bowl than having a 24-0 lead 20 minutes into a game that will allow you to host the sixth seed to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They may get to a Super Bowl someday, but whatever path they use to get to it will be will be much harder than the one that they had set up for themselves in the middle of the second quarter last week. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was angry.
I was angry also because they were trying, Nance and Romo were trying so hard to act like being down by 10 points was the same as being down by 24 points.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs are down by 10-0 in the first quarter. They're like, well, they do have the ability to come back. Like, yeah, like every other damn respectable team
the
in the
Dolphins
NFL.
Have the it's ability 10, to come back.
It's a 10-point deficit. That's completely different.
Romo's off his game.
He's not. He wasn't. He flat out, the last couple games I've watched him, and he mistook a 3rd-and-5 situation for a 4th-and-5 situation yesterday. The Titans came out, or the Chiefs came. Who drew them offsides? The Titans drew the Chiefs offsides. Titans are out on 3rd-and-5. They drew, and the Chiefs jumped offsides, and Romo said, well, that was the whole reason the Titans were even out there. I'm like, what? No, that's when it's 4th-and-5, and you go out just to draw somebody offsides.
Ridiculous.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.